Well, the family, Lee, and I know you just had this in the news, of the Idaho murder victims, actually some of the families, outraged to be informed in an email just a few weeks before the trial for Brian Koberger. Yeah, we gave him a plea deal. Yeah. Four life sentences. Now, the good thing is he'd have to agree to without the possibility of parole. He cannot ever seek parole. So that's at least good news. But it left two Fox hosts who are former prosecutors. Their heads kind of spinning here.
There's a split in the legal community. Some say, look, a plea deal was the right call because when you go to a jury, juries are unpredictable. Anything is possible, even in a case like this that seems like it is open and shut. There are others that say prosecutors should never have taken the death penalty off the table. Your thoughts on that?
Well, if there ever was a case worthy of a death penalty conviction, I think murdering, stabbing to death four people would fit that bill here. I can understand where the prosecutors are coming from in that a conviction and a sentence is never guaranteed with a jury. This is an Idaho jury, as you know. This would be not the first time I covered a death penalty trial in Idaho. Chad Daybell was one who was convicted of the death penalty. He didn't even touch most of the victims he was accused of murdering. So I think here it would have been a case where the evidence was beyond a reasonable doubt and a jury would have had no problem convicting him as well as sentencing him to the death penalty. And as a prosecutor, you take in the wishes of the family and what they want here. And a majority, according to Steve Gonsalves, of the families wanted this to go to trial.
Aubrey Gonsalves, the sister, says Brian Koberger facing a life in prison means he will still get to speak, form relationships, and engage with the world. Time and time again, we find ourselves blindsided, unheard, and unsupported. Mm-hmm. Well, she ought to come to South Carolina.
Yeah.
Where we let off a guy who killed not four. No. He was just getting started. He killed seven. Todd Kohlheb, and then bragged to authorities that actually he'd killed more, but then refused to help them in any way to find them. And then we went, oh, cool, here, have some life sentences. That was prosecutor, Seventh Circuit Solicitor Barry Barnett, in the most ridiculous argument against the death penalty I've ever heard. He said, well, that was back when we didn't have a way to execute them because we were still fighting in court. He said, well, you know. Families don't deserve to wait years for justice. So you're just going to take it away up front? And I mean, it is kind of unfair. I mean, look, we have executed some real monsters in this state. And as far as I'm concerned, every Friday at 6 p.m., we could just fire up whatever, take another one out. Thrilled to see them go. But every one of them, Lee, has not been as bad as Todd Kohlheb.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you watch the documentaries on him, what an unbelievable guy. They interview a woman from Arizona who says he raped her. And there's evidence he raped others. In other words, he was operating as a serial rapist before the murder started. No cooperation with authorities. Brags he killed others. Completely unrepentant. And by the way, he is one of the most manipulative psychopaths ever. Because then we hear from prison, he's already manipulated his way into a leadership position that gives him privileges. So, I mean, this guy, and by the way, remember he went to work on Sheriff Chuck Wright? And I said at the time, this guy must be on drugs. He's praying with Kohlheb. And then it turned out Sheriff Wright actually was on drugs. But, I mean, that guy just cut through our legal justice system like a knife. But if you ever read studies of psychopaths, the really talented ones will manipulate judges. I mean, they will manipulate law enforcement. They are unbelievable, and that guy was. And you know what's so crazy about Kohlheb was just the level of premeditation with this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, remember what he was a realtor. And so he would put those boxes on people's homes that he was selling their houses. And he sold a lot of houses. So, I mean, he could just walk right into your home in the middle of the night if he wanted to. Maybe he did. Anyway. So, they think it's bad in Idaho. They ought to check out South Carolina, man. Yeah, wow.
When I heard this, I immediately was thinking about that case.
Yeah.
And it's just, I'm not a fan, personally, of mandatory sentencing. But this case, as well as the Kohlhepp case, are two cases where the death penalty should never, under any circumstances, been taken off the table.
Off the table, yeah.
This is just, if you listen to the details of what those four victims went through and how they were murdered, I still can't figure out, personally, just listening to this, how four people in one house are knifed, stabbed to death at one time without somehow somebody doing something to stop him. But that aside, four young people, lives taken with a knife by one man, and it was all evidence points to this guy.
Yeah, well,
and
I mean,
do not see how in the world that the death penalty can be taken off the table for this crime.
Look,
he's
convicted. Left DNA at the scene,
and
they had him dead to rights, scoping the place because they have the cell phone data.
Oh, there's cell phone data. There's video of the vehicle that is going by near the crime scene multiple times. There's somewhat questionable, but some corroborating evidence by another individual that had delivered food to the site. There's just all kind. There was, I think, there was some corroborating evidence from one of the roommates that that was not attacked and saw someone inside the building that resembled the suspect. So there's all kinds of evidence here.
This is an Idaho jury, too. This is not like it's a New York jury where God knows what they'll do, right?
Yeah.
And it, look, if this was New York, I'd be like, yeah, plea deal. plea deal, yep. Slam shut.
You may have a point there.
Yeah, because New York jurors are too stupid to, I mean, clearly, look, I mean, they have elected this moron, some dummy, as their, you know, nominee in their mayoral primary. So, yeah. But you know, Idaho. Okay. Opposite side of this is a texter writing in on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. Tara, the prosecutor's case was weak. This is just the other side of this, Lisa. I'm going to read it.
Yeah, I'm
understanding. The police trampled all over the evidence. They tore down the house before the lawyers for the defendant had a chance to examine the crime scene. Okay. Yeah, but he left DNA evidence at the crime scene.
Well, if they did not have a chance to examine the crime scene, it seems to me they weren't making much of an effort to do so because that house was not like torn down the next day.
Mm-hmm. No, it was.
I think about almost, if my memory serves me correctly, which sometimes it doesn't, it was months or maybe a year after the crime before the house was torn down.
Yeah. And I remember how bad this was? The blood was seeping out the side of the house and down the foundation.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, this was brutal.
This was a brutal knife attack by the suspect or whoever killed these people. I mean, this was a horrifically brutal crime. And these, obviously, they bled out to death in this situation. A horrific way to go.
By the way, on Todd Kohlhepp, we have since obviously found a way to do the death sentence. It's a damn shame.
Yeah, I know.
We don't get to force that guy to choose one of three ways to die.
Yep.
That is a shame. Shame on Barry Barnett for that. I mean, he's done a lot of other good stuff, but one of his worst decisions as a prosecutor. I don't know what he was thinking.
I still don't understand that. Yeah, I mean, listen, I understand that these trials are expensive. They take time. There are other crimes where you have victims' concerns as well. But when you have something so horrific where someone is, the body count is that high, that it's just I don't see justice by allowing the individual to continue to live out on, you know, the taxpayer's dollar.
And remember, we found what was going to be his next victim chained around the neck like a dog in that
shipping container
where he was
keeping real estate property in Spartanburg County.
Yeah. And
he had, one of the things I read recently where he had been making some comments about things he had purchased on Amazon that were used in the crime. One of those included the locks that he bought, and just to paraphrase his review of those locks, you know, bought five strong locks. It won't stop them, but it'll sure slow them down. Old people can't move that quickly. And, you know, sure, if you saw that on a comment section, you would think, oh, yeah, that's just a joke, but he wasn't joking. You know, these psychopaths like to, as my daughter was saying, like to leave clues like that so that they can then mock the authorities. You know, you can't catch me.
And he left multiple comments.
Oh, absolutely.
That wasn't even the only one.
That was one. That was just one of several on items that he actually used committing the crimes. Reviews on Amazon. Not to impugn Amazon. It's just, you know, that was in the comment section.
Texter writes, I'm in sales and I knocked on Todd Kohlhepp's door. Oh. I sell security systems.
Oh, boy.
And he told me he didn't need one, but other people may.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
A lot of people knew Kohlhepp. You talk about him because he was a realtor and he was actually a really prolific one. He sold a lot of homes, so he met a lot of people. Hope that guy never gets out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well. At least we know Kohlberger will never hurt anyone outside of a prison again. So you know what always makes me nervous about that, though, Lee? I mean, you know, Democrats take control at the national level. All bets are off.
Yeah. I mean, good grief. Look at some of the pardons by Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Or maybe I should say the auto pen.
Well, yeah, the pardons, but also he's got that. But also just who they let in his country, knew people were wanted by Interpol for child rape, murder, and just let them go at the border. So, I mean, I what they'd be capable of. I mean, that way, this is a party that pledged. And remember, they had the billboards along 385 pledged to off the top release 50% of the federal prison population, just off the top. Now, this he's in state prison, but still, it shows you what they could do nationally if they really ever got power. I mean, I would not be surprised if people like Kohlhepp walk. Texter writes, a close friend used Todd Kohlhepp, now convicted of 7 murders here in South Carolina. A close friend used Kohlhepp when they listed her house for sale. He was so creepy around their teenage daughter. When he came to the house, they got rid of him quick. Good. So one thing I tell my kids is they're getting ready to fly. Teenagers who in the coming years will be out in the world, which scares the heck out of me. Listen to that voice. You know the one, it's never wrong. Listen to it. All the crappy stuff Oprah's done over the years, some of her best work is a book that she wrote about listening to that voice. And it's really powerful stuff. And I've said, especially listen to it when you don't want to hear what it's saying, i.e. you just met a great looking guy. He helps carry your groceries. Yeah. Bundy used to do that for women in grocery parking lots. Good looking guy, too. Lawyer. Great catch. Or so it seemed. Anyway, Texter writes, go listen to Body Bags with Joseph Scott Morgan podcast. Harriet will tell you how off Dateline was reporting about the case. Also, Joseph Scott Morgan says it's a disaster that this house was allowed to be torn down before trial. I can't wait to hear his thoughts on the guilty plea. Joseph Scott Morgan is 50-year medical examiner and now professor at well-known College of Kentucky. Go listen to him and you will be amazed. Okay, cool. Yeah, so just talking about the shock of Brian Kohlberger not going to be tried for the death penalty. He did get 4 consecutive life sentences without the possibility of parole. At least that's the plea deal on the table. Letting the family know about it by email, pretty crappy. Hey, speaking of people who love violence, while we're on that, do you see what this moron, some dummy, that's what we're going to call him from now on because I've just given up trying to pronounce his name. You know the one, the Democrats chose as their primary nominee to be the mayor of New York. We're going to call him moron, some dummy because it's who he is. It fits. Anyway, we're talking about violence, and he loves it. Oh, he loves him some violence. Wait till you hear this. And folks, this just shows you who he is. This is a now resurfaced video.
Oftentimes, we've even found as legislators, when we go into these courts, the term violent crime is even used when people are stealing packages. Violent crime is even used when people are accused of burglary and there happens to be a housing unit in that same dwelling. So violence is an artificial construction. And we have to be very clear that what is happening here with these district attorneys, that is violence. That is violence at the highest degree.
That's incredible. Okay. Breaking into somebody's home, burglary, is considered violence. It is pretty much universally a felony if somebody is home when you do it. It's a violent crime. You understand why? Even if you're not home, you could surprise them. That's how people end up dead. Breaking into a home is not violence, but prosecutors prosecuting it in New York is violence. What? This guy's crazy. No, No. He's not. Folks, and this is what I want you to understand. This is classic Marxism. You can't understand it unless you read We the Living by Ayn Rand, who actually lived through this kind of thought process. Again, we are developing words for it here because we don't understand. We call it dual justice, right? It's not fair. Dual justice is Marxism. In China, Xi Fan Fleet lived there after the revolution. All people in China were divided into 10 classes, 5 oppressed, 5 oppressor. She remembers going to school. One of her teachers had been labeled an oppressor. The kids were allowed to knock her to the ground, kick, hit, and beat her till they put her in the hospital. They spat all over, and not a one of them ever got in trouble. Why? Because they were oppressed class. So the rules and the laws don't apply to them. That sound familiar to you? She said one of her earliest memories was a dead man floating in the well. He'd killed himself. Why? Well, because he had been labeled as an oppressed class. And so if his family associated with him in any way, it would hurt their class ranking. They were, they wanted to be, you know, he was ranked as an oppressor. That's why he killed himself. So he killed himself to free his family so they wouldn't be associated with him and they could have a higher ranking and a better chance at life. So understand what mom, you know, what moron some dummy is saying here. The prosecutors are oppressor class. Okay. So if they were to prosecute a violent individual of the oppressed class, that is violence. This is the Marxist mentality. We call it dual justice. We're like, well, that doesn't apply to Democrats. Yes, no, that's how it works. It's classic Marxism. Here's Xi Van Fleet. In the interview she did with Tucker Carlson, she escaped to the U.S. She's a Republican now and an anti-communist really fighter. I want you to hear this so that you understand what moron is talking about. He's not crazy. He's a classic Marxist.
Just looking out on the streets on the campus today, look, those people who have no empathy because their empathy is guided by the ideology. That ideology is Marxist ideology about oppressors and oppressed. The worldview is looking everything in terms of who is the oppressor and who is the oppressed. And that is absolutely communist worldview. And for those who are oppressed, anything they do to the oppressed or the oppressor is justified. That includes murder, kidnap, and raping. This is all justified, just like the Cultural Revolution. And that's what's happening in today's America. Those are the absolute result of decades of indoctrination.
So people with no empathy will kill.
Will kill. And today they're just out there accepting, justifying, and celebrating violence. It's only a short step away from committing violence. Those kids in China that kill their principal, their teachers, they're not monsters. They're not. They were actually, most of them were from very prestigious universities and high schools.
You know, I mean, the parallels are unbelievable.
Unbelievable. And they
So the Chinese Harvard was more radical than the Chinese HVAC repair
school.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. The Cultural Revolution started in Tsinghua and the Beijing University, the top of the top. And the Red Guards that committed murders were the best of the best, supposedly. And then they kill. And there's one short step that was...
Yeah, so moron man commie, that's what he's talking about. When he says burglary is not violence, it's not a violent crime, but prosecutors who prosecute people for it are committing violence. That is his mindset. If you are a burglar, you are an oppressed class, one of the most highly valued classes to the Democrat Party. Ergo, dual justice, you have to let them go, and then we go after the prosecutors. It's twisted, but it's not just him. It's classic Marxism. It's how they'll all operate if we let them get power. Moron, some dummy. The man, commie. Running in New York. Hottest, hippest thing in the Democrat Party. They love him, man. I can't play this audio enough. Senator Chris Murphy, liberal Democrat, says he's the bestest.
Do you think so, that Mamdani is the future of the Democratic Party?
Well, I think his message, his economic message, is the future of the party.
Cool. And what is that again?
We are unapologetic about our socialism. There are also other issues that we firmly believe in, whether it's BDS, right, or whether it's the end goal of seizing the means of production.
Yeah. Look on Google. Those exact words. Definition of communism, means of production, quote unquote, is community owned. He's communist. But he's also a big fan of violence, a really dangerous combination.
Oftentimes, we've even found as legislators, when we go into these courts, the term violent crime is even used when people are stealing packages. Violent crime is even used when people are accused of burglary and there happens to be a housing unit in that same dwelling. So violence is an artificial construction. And we have to be very clear that what is happening here with these district attorneys, that is violence. That is violence at the highest degree.
Okay, so just so we're clear, if you are from the victim class, which would be burglars, right? Highly valuable political class to the Democrats, burglars, then you cannot commit violence. But also, if you are from an oppressor class, as the prosecutors are, then you are committing violence. I live in the upside down. But that's classic Marxist thought, folks. And I just proved that to you with the clip from Chi Van Fleet. This happens. Students were allowed to go to their schools and beat their teachers to death because they were oppressed class members. And the teacher that they beat to death and spat upon was an oppressor class member. In America, we're seeing the beginnings of this. We don't know what to call it because we don't recognize Marxism. We call it dual justice, but that's what it is. Democrats always get away with, murder, fraud, theft. By the way, new article out overnight, Joe Biden in the last 3 days of his administration pushed $42 billion out the door to Democrat groups and enviro groups and companies, two of whom, it's only July, two of whom have since filed for bankruptcy after getting the money. They only got it in January. Where is it? Do they own islands? They're oppressed class. So they could do whatever they want. It's how it works. And you can see this in their murderous zeal toward ICE. CNN gleefully promoting an app that helps people find them, especially when they're out in the community. Now, this is a disaster, okay? Do you know what happened last week? There's a guy who committed child rape in Italy. And so naturally, he came to Joe Biden's America, where that kind of thing is not really a big deal. He's on the run. Interpol wants him, right? ICE was on the verge of picking him up last week when a Democrat group using the app interdicted, got in the way, warned him, and he got away. Because, you know, child rapists are people too. Future Democrat voters is who these people are. So, this is becoming a problem for ICE and the rule of law, which is why CNN is promoting it. Take a listen to the glee.
One tech developer is pushing back with an app designed to track ICE activity in real time. It's called and it's controversial to say the least.
I believe it.
Claire Duffy is with us now. How does this work, Claire? And what are the legal implications?
Yeah, John, I talked with Joshua Aaron, who is the longtime tech worker who developed this platform. And he said he really wants it to be an early warning system for people about the location of Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers. So he says he does not want people interfering with those officers' activity, but he does want people to be able to avoid them altogether if they want. So you open the app, it looks like a map, and users can tap the map to report an ICE sighting in their area. And then everybody who uses the platform within 5 miles of that sighting will get a push alert. This is a free iPhone app. It is anonymous. Aaron says he doesn't collect any user data. And what I think is really interesting about this in this moment is we've seen so many of the biggest leaders in tech supporting President Trump, but Aaron is sort of an example of the fact that there are people within the tech industry who are really resistant to Trump's policies. I asked him what he would say to those tech leaders who, for example, were at the inauguration. Here's what he told me. Take a listen.
I understand that you have shareholders to report to. I understand that you have employees that need their paychecks. But at what point do you say enough is enough?
And John, I should say that ICE did not respond when I asked them about this platform and about Aaron's opposition to their activity.
At what point have you had enough? Child rapists need a place they can go and vote Democrat. Bunch of losers. Folks, and overnight, it came out from the head of ICE that these Marxist lunatics in the Democrat Party are beginning to target not just the homes of ICE agents, but their children, stalking them on social media. It's unbelievable. Here's Attorney General Pam Bondi about to lose it on television.
He's giving a message to criminals where our federal officers are, and he cannot do that. And we are looking at it. We are looking at him, and he better watch out, because that's not a protected speech. That is threatening the lives of our law enforcement officers throughout this country. And shame on CNN. I just saw that for the first time when you showed it, that they're promoting that app. That's shame on them for doing that. That could hurt our law enforcement officers who are out there protecting them, protecting all of us every single day.
Yeah, speaking of energy, you got the energy to clean your home? Apparently Gen Zers and millennials, yeah, their homes are a total mess. Poll of Gen Zers and millennials found 45% would be embarrassed if someone saw the current state of their home. And a totally gross 36% say they don't really clean unless they're expecting company. Ew. So if somebody showed up at your place right now, would the first words out of your mouth be, sorry, it's such a mess? Anyway, the poll was by Swiffer, so you can see where they're coming from, but still. The top excuse, this is the funniest part. The top excuse for not cleaning was, I just don't have time. But is that really true? The average person said it would take about 2 hours to clean their entire place, and they usually procrastinate for almost 3 hours before they start. Yeah, you know what I've learned over time? I can't clean a whole house. I will procrastinate for 3 hours. I am a procrastinator. You won't believe that, but I am. But what I do really good at, and I got this advice from somebody on the text line years ago when I first started here, and it works. Just do a little bit. And I do a little bit of cleaning all the time. And that's about my tolerance, because I get bored easily and I'm easily distracted. In fact, I am one of the few people in my neighborhood who actually can park both my cars in my garage. You want to talk about a wonder of organization. If you could put both your cars in your garage, you're doing something right. Well, I couldn't always do that. And that was a bane of my existence. And I'm going to go out there to get started. I'd move like one box maybe, and then I'd give up and just feel bad about myself, and I wouldn't go back to doing it. And then I'd hate myself for not doing it because my car's like rotting in my driveway, right? Because that'll really do damage, the sun, especially in the summer, to your car. It ages it quickly. Somebody on the text line said, don't do that. Have a stopping point. In other words, I'm going to remove one box a day, and I'm only going to do it one day a week. And that's it. And you get such satisfaction with, at least I do, I fulfilled the whole thing. Because, you know, you get 2/3 done and you feel like you still have more to do. You're exhausted and you don't get that satisfied feeling of getting something done. Give yourself satisfaction, the person said. Small goals. One little box at a time, or even half a box, or even just I'm going to ferret out 3 toys and throw them away or send them to Goodwill. And I did that over months. And for the first time in my adult life, I could park in my garage. I'm very proud of it. Yeah, because you know, you put your cars in the driveway and then guess what? The oil starts falling and the oil stains, or they'll stain the road, and it's just a mess. So yeah, I can park in my garage and I'm very proud of that. And it took me a long time to get there, but because I'm a procrastinator. But if I can get that feeling of satisfaction doing just a little thing at a time, it was such a great excuse. I mean, so such a great advice, I should say, not excuse. And it is kind of an excuse. It's an excuse to like, I'm just going to do a little, but not a lot. It's perfect for lazy people. And before I knew it, my garage was clean. Now, okay, it took months, but try it. If you're like me, don't think, oh, I got to clean the whole thing. It's Saturday. And I said I was going to do it Saturday. No, just start with, you know what? Tonight after dinner, I'm just going to wipe the counters. And then tomorrow I might go ahead and totally, clean the, mop the floors. But I'm not going to do any more than that. And you get that little bits of feelings of satisfaction that you really start to like it and then you want to do it. It works. I'm telling you, and I never thought of it till this person texted me. Anyway, I get the best stuff off the text line. I really do. All right. I got to tell you, it's running about 60-40. You guys want me to give you the name of the app? Because I don't want to be like CNN and publish it, hoping someone, you know, will go beat up an ICE agent. But you guys say you want to file false reports all over town to make it useless? Oh, should I give the name? Dexter writes, how lazy can people be? Tell them to get off their lazy butts and find the app themselves. Oh, Texture writes, Tara, if you publish it and we overload it, we could use it to make illegals quit their jobs and then U.S. citizens and legal aliens can take those jobs. Yeah, well, that would be the good part. Texture writes, use the app when you get ready to go shopping. Store will be empty. No, wait. Win-win. Oh, you're convincing me. Texture writes, good morning, Tara. We should all download the app and report ICE agents everywhere all day long. All right. It's called Ice Block. There you go. ICE Block. So the idea is that Democrats will report where they see ICE agents, and then an automatic notification goes out to all the illegal immigrant subscribers, because who else is subscribing? Well, Democrat thugs. Yeah. Antifa. Other weirdos. Yeah, okay. So there you go. It's called ICE Block. So I guess put it on your phone and drive around town and, yeah. Just report people all day long. Have fun with that. Let me know how it's going.